Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Caught on the Web Radio. I'm your host, Colleen Nelson, and today we're going to be wrapping up the Website Foundation Series, Part 3. Today we're talking about website hosting, your choices for your website hosting company. This is, again, Part 3, Part 1 and Part 2, talking about the whole Foundation Series, talking about the essentials to what you need to know about having a website. Sometimes I teach a lot of classes, social media marketing, website development classes, and sometimes you just need like a clear answer on what are the basics, what the overview before you hire somebody, before you decide if you want to get involved in creating your website from scratch or do it yourself or turnkey solutions out there. Sometimes you just want to have a kind of a overview. So part one, you can listen to the podcast in iTunes or here on blogtalkradio.com. Part one was the domain name selection. Part two was the website building options, and that touched on things from Weebly or Wix to WordPress and Joomla. And then today we're going to be talking about the hosting. What do you need to, whether you're technical or not technical, you need to be aware about your hosting company, because it could cost you the price of a full website in the future if you aren't careful about how you choose or the hosting company. To make it simple, like primary, red, you know, RGB, red, red, blue, and RGB, red, green, and blue, sorry. You need your domain name, which is your street address in cyberspace, if you will. That is what people will type in the URL, and that's your address. The website, which is whether it be Weebly or Wix or an e-commerce store or Shopify or WordPress, that is your house, if you will. Follow me on this. And the hosting company is the type of land that you're going to put your house on. So the hosting is actually the server where your website lives. The type of server can make a difference. I just realized in my notes, I want to make sure, well, we can just start off. One of the primary selections of a hosting company would be like understanding the operating system, because it's a computer that lives somewhere in a rack where there's 500 other servers. So if you had a desktop computer, maybe people don't have those anymore. I still have them for a myriad of reasons. But the desktop computer, that is considered a server sitting on a rack with hundreds of other in a temperature-controlled room and having people babysit and monitor these things. And they're all over the world. And they talk to each other and bounce information around. And that kind of creates the World Wide Web. So you're renting, when you pay for a hosting company, you're renting a little itty-bitty space of real estate. And so I'm here going to kind of give you an overview so you understand whether you're making the decision, whether your host, your website designer or developer is making a decision. You should be aware of the things that the considerations that go into deciding, so you don't have to rebuild because you're maxed out for whatever reasons on the hosting company. Or I'm going to say this, and I don't know if it ruffles a few feathers. There are legitimate reasons, but for the most part, if your web designer says, let me host your website for you, or, oh, you know, my cousin's second nephew's uncle's little brother says, oh, yeah, I've got a server, I can put your website on there, sure, don't do it. Just because it's cheap or it's free does not mean you should be putting a business website on something like that. You need the cost of a website, whether it be hosting in the domain or the hosting cost. They're so cheap, and they're far better equipped to handle backups and emergencies and things like that. Websites go down. It happens regularly, but you guys don't notice it, and that's because the timing or the bouncing back from a broken website or something like that. But there's a myriad of reasons and tons of infinite variables, but having a website on somebody's personal server is really bad. One, it's like, there's no recourse if something happens to the company or to that person, or the website's down and they're on vacation. It's just not professional. Don't do it. When you have website hosting packages starting at $3 a month, then you shouldn't, you know, if $3 a month is too much, then you shouldn't have a website. I mean, truthfully. So There are designers who have reseller packages with bigger companies. Then that's a different case. That's a different situation. But you need to know that information up front. If your web person says, hey, I have an account, you want control of that account of wherever your website is. You want your name on the account. You want your billing information. You do not want your website developer. And listen, I'm a website developer, so obviously, but I'm also a consumer advocate before I think I would like be a website developer, because I put my clients on their own independent accounts because it becomes a mess for them and me if they want to move, change, or anything. It's always awkward. I mean, talk about awkward. Client calls you up, hi, yeah, could I move your website or could I move my website? So just keep everything separated and professional in business. So let's jump in to an overview of website hosting, how to choose a website hosting company. And the quick list is there's four main points I would say. Number one is price, obviously, or your budget. Two are the technical specs of the website needs. Three, the hosting company itself. And four, I call it the a la carte system, you know, the taco system, the a la carte. Do you have bells and whistles to add on now and later in the future? So one of the primary concerns, obviously, is people are concerned about price. And here's the deal. We talked about domains in the first part of the series, and your domain is an annual cost, right? That's a one-time fee. Plus, there's a little, it's called an ICANN, I-C-A-N-N, the name of an organization. There's an ICANN fee, and it's like 28 cents, I think. But it's like you get a one-time annual fee for your domain. Whether you add privacy or do these other things to your domain name is completely separate. But the bottom line is an annual fee for your domain. Number two is your website. Obviously, you have to pay somebody to build it. But let's just say one of the most popular platforms or building tools out there is going to be, you know, say WordPress or Joomla. I have reasons for both of those. Those are content management systems. Those are actually, the application of Joomla and the application of WordPress are actually free and can be installed with by like a one-click installation on your servers, on most hosting, large hosting companies, for free. What you're doing is you're paying for the space on the server, and that's a monthly fee. You can buy them in three-month packages or year packages, but that is a monthly fee. So, you know, so now, if you're using Weebly, this podcast may not exactly make sense. The show, let's say you had a Weebly account. You're going to have your domain name fee for one time a year. Your website, you're going to be paying more for your website because you're using their tools. And don't forget, like we said on the last show, if you're using Weebly or Shopify or something like that, you're paying rent to use their application. And that application, so say it's $15 a month. Well, if you want to go to leave, you can't exactly take the entire website with you because you rented it or you it's leased. You don't own it. You never will own it. You own the content that you place on their server, but you don't own the framework that holds the pages together and kind of puts the information in particular places on the web page. So if you are using Weebly, this type of hosting information, I would recommend still listening to, so you can have an idea of, because when you choose Weebly or Wix, like in the last program, if you don't know how you want your website in 5 years or 2 years, then you might not realize that you'll outgrow Weebly or Wix or one of those turnkey things, GoDaddy Builder, One-in-One Builder. You can outgrow those very, very quickly. And if you pay somebody to develop one of those types of sites, or you spend hours developing one of those types of sites, and as you develop it without planning or strategy, you're going to find out that, you're going to call up and go, why can't I do this? And they're going to say, well, sorry, that's an advanced feature that we just don't offer. You're going to have to rebuild your entire site. So I highly suggest to have a detailed conversation or a detailed plan when building your site before you select your web hosting or the type of website. And sometimes it's hard to figure where you want to be in 5 years, and that's why I put my clients on something like WordPress or a content management system. if they plan on growing and doing e-sales and things like that. If you're talking straight informational, you're just, you know, whether it be a tax preparer or something like that, you're providing a service and it's informational. People can go there and download forms and do some kind of neat things, but it's really just informational. You're not having interactive forums or dynamic chats, or you're not offering something that you saw on a massive, you know, commercial website. Then most of your needs are going to be met through the basic WordPress and a basic hosting account just fine. So, okay, so we're talking about price. Now, there are different types of hosting that depending on your website, and this is, you think about your website, you consider what you want now and what bells and whistles you want later. So maybe you do want to provide a forum for people to talk, clients to talk amongst each other or about certain topics. You need to write that down and let your web person know about that. You need to kind of create this wish list before you go poking around a hosting company. Even if you're not ready to have a store, but you know you want a store, you need to put that down on a wish list. There are things, how you want to sell, or if there's something important to you that you've seen on a website that you want to copy, write it down on a wish list. Get that wish list together, and you want to figure out with the web person or with the sales person at a hosting company, the tech specs of your website needs. Your website needs will determine what type of hosting company you'll end up with, honestly. So first, we're going through the price. So the types of hosting, the most common and what you see the most, the cheapest, which isn't necessarily always the best solution, but if you've ever heard of shared hosting server, it's where hundreds of websites on one server. It's not a problem for most basic informational websites or just starting out. If your website starts to grow quickly, you need to be cautious of what your package, the limitations and parameters of your package, the settings and things like that. But if you're talking, you know, you just want a place to hang your banner, literally, and have people contact you, email you, find out your services, send people there for specific information, then shared serving is completely fine. There's, you know, a lot of people will boo-boo on shared serving. But if you think about it, your computer has hundreds of files of folders, right? You've got documents inside a folder and then multiple folders. That's the same thing with a server. Can potentially become bad if you happen to get on a server with some websites that do spam, and you won't know. There are tools to out on the web, but generally, it's a good system out there, and those shared hosting packages are fine for most people, and they range from $3 to $15 a month. They're fine, and that includes like GoDaddy and HostGator, and there's lots of them out there. So $3 to $15 a month. The next level, the next type of hosting would be considered grid or cloud hosting, which is similar to shared hosting. But the idea is, the one caveat or one mention I should say about shared hosting is, if you hit, they have parameters and resources as far as your size, the size of the resource demand. If all of a sudden you're inundated with high traffic because something went viral, your website could get instantly shut down because you completely exceeded a basic, real cheap and expensive package. It happens all the time. You know, something gets put on the news and boom, the website is broken by the time somebody goes to see it. But for the most part, the idea is that the shared hosting shuts you down, and then you have to kind of let the traffic, everything slow down and try to upgrade in an emergency situation. Gridr hosting is a little, it allows your hosting company to keep adding, you know, upgrading in the background without putting such restraint or limitations on resources. So if you see grid or cloud hosting, it's just like shared hosting, but there might be a little more padding for like being able to upgrade on the fly if you know you're going to be having a huge marketing hit for a couple of days or something like that. So just something to be aware of. Grid and cloud hosting might be a few bucks more, might be anywhere from $15 to $25 a month. And then after Grid or cloud hosting, we have VPS, which is kind of a virtual partition server. Let me look up what VPS, because I forget, because I've seen it a couple different ways. So VPS means a virtual private server. I think I refer to it as partition because basically it's like a shared server, but you have less. So it's more, you have more resources are allocated to your part of the server versus hundreds of websites sharing the same resources. So it's a really good option. It's a nice bridge between a shared and a dedicated, because obviously shared is the cheapest. Dedicated is one of the most expensive ways, and people are like, I want my own server. Sometimes you simply just don't need it. Your websites don't demand a 100% dedicated server, and it is a lot to handle, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But in the meantime, let me see how we're doing on time. The VPS, we'll just call it the VPS. What's cool about it is you can, say you have, for whatever reason, you're kind of building an online empire of little business or multiple sites that are all part of your business, and each one may offer a different service, or you just have different marketing sites for one company. One is for your internet or your internal company use. One is for the website use. There's lots of reasons why you can have multiple sites that you need to manage in one location, and a VPS is perfect for that. It is also perfect because the hardcore server maintenance and updates and knowing what your operating system and all of those kinds of crazy things are is very, very technical stuff. That is managed. You can call it managed VPS. That's managed by the hosting company. You have a lot of control over what they're, and there is a higher learning curve, but you don't have to deal with, you know, somebody else's website causing problems for your website and your resources or something like that. I mean, it's a pretty good deal. They range from $25 to $85 a month. But if you have like an online testing system, if you have something that people are spending a lot of time on in order, like online courses, testing, forums, a lot of demand. People are on the website 24/7. 24/7 shopping, not just one person at a time, but you have 50 to 100 to 2,000 people shopping and purchasing at the same time. A VPS is definitely worth it. And that's the key. If your website only has 1 or 2 to 10 people a day on it while you're marketing, it's going to take several months to build up, then you don't need to pull out all the guns. You don't need to go guns blazing into, you know, the most expensive thing first. Part of what we're going to talk about is finding a hosting company that allows you and enables you to grow your website with your hosting company. That way you don't waste money on stuff you don't need now. It's like if you went straight to a dedicated server, which is next on our list, dedicated server, chances are you're going to have to hire somebody to maintain it for you because you won't be able to. And that includes updating the hardware from hackers and the operating system and all the little code snippets that run. Things like Linux and the Windows Server, programming languages you don't want to know about, and that's not your job to know about it, but you would have to hire somebody to handle that. It grants full access to the root control, and it's basically having your own computer in cyberspace, and that's like we're talking like $100 a month, and that's great if you have an internal dedicated person to manage your technical website needs, and or, you know, if it's a company intranet where you want employees to be able to stay in touch with each other and things like that, then dedicated server is it. But if you go to dedicated server right off the bat and say, you know, people underestimate how long it takes to ramp up traffic, and Google is always changing, search engine is always changing their ways they determine your rank and where you land in search results, and your marketing's just getting out there. All of this kind of stuff takes a while. And the truth is it will take 3 to 6 months to really ramp up your website to see a steady pace and to see there's a reaction time. And this will probably make another good podcast in the future. There's a reaction time that when you start marketing, what happens with the traffic on your website? Whether it be online marketing or traditional marketing, there's a correlation. And so the more marketing you do, the more traffic you're going to have. And when you stop marketing, so does the traffic. There's a tight correlation, and that's the truth. And that's one of the hardest things to, I think, get across to clients is the setting up a consistency on marketing your website. That will make the biggest difference in conversion rates and in everything on your website, the success of your business. So I digress, but of course, I don't mean to. But there's other types of high-end. There's something called co-location. That's not for our purposes here. Co-location is massive, and that's like you want everything. You're building it from the ground up, and that's not what we're doing here. So no worries about that. But if you hear about co-location, that's extremely expensive too. You're getting the server and everything. So a big note, depending on how your website is built, there may be specs that you need to know direct from your web developer or the person building your website. You need to discuss with all of the things, you know, from your email programs, you know, are you going to have a subscription? Are people going to register? What type of system? Are you going to use Joomla or WordPress? Will you be using any extensions and plugins? Because a lot of you're adding code on top of code on top of code, and you will find that the PHP, the languages all need to kind of work together. So it's amazing how we have websites even working if you really think about it. So the operating system has to communicate and has to grant the permission for the websites to work, basically, and the languages are making that request, the scripts and things like that. And it's amazing if you think about it, if you use WordPress or Joomla, there are these third-party extensions that are coded by different people, and they have minimum requirements set for all of them. And you need to be aware that it's, you know, your PHP language is 5.5 and not 5.2, and little things like that, because you can install an extension, and if your server's not properly up to date, it will break your website. It is part of the new world, if you will. You won't know until you try it, and that's why we back up. So always talk to the person, you know, before you pay for a year of hosting at a company. Make sure you make a decision after you know the content of your website and the bells and whistles and the features that you want to have now and in the five years. I probably said that five times already, but really want to kind of drive that information home. The second part of a website, how to choose a website, are just the basic considerations of the website itself, the tech specs based on the content. So depending on your current needs. So I want to be able to upload content or have my clients upload images to me, right? Or, you know, maybe I don't want to use Dropbox or SugarSync or something like that. Maybe I want to kind of, you know, have people to go to my website and have it be all slick and that they can upload their graphics and stuff to me as a web person and make it super simple. Well, I need to know that because how I build my site is going to determine what I can do with it on the technical front. So you need to start making that wish list. The website types we talked, you know, very simple is informational. Interactive might have a forum or a type of form that you might like survey your customers or send people to your website to go fill out the form questionnaire. If you want to do e-commerce or money, that would make a difference because you would, let's back up. If you're using an e-commerce store, so like whether it's WordPress plugged in with a shopping cart system or something like that, the e-commerce platform, if you use something like PayPal, whether you use it, an individual button off of PayPal or whether you tie your shopping cart into PayPal, you should know that you don't need an SSL certificate. An SSL certificate is to protect your information that's getting transmitted over the web. For most part, the PayPal, you leave the user, the experience is that the user leaves your website and enters PayPal, and the actual transaction and credit card processing information or bank information is handled through PayPal, and they have spent millions and probably billions of dollars protecting that process or what's known as a payment gateway system. If you have a combination of e-commerce where the person is going to provide their name, their mailing address, perhaps their phone number, that type of information before they hit the buy button, then you should have an SSL certificate. So you want to make sure that your hosting company, it's just a lot easier if your hosting company carries SSL certificates. And that's just an extra layer of protection for you, because if your website is taking the information and holding it inside a database on your servers, then you are responsible for protecting that information. If the purchase is strictly done all through PayPal or authorized.net, then that's a payment gateway system and they're protecting it. So work with your website person to kind of see where that line is. But that's an important factor to know in advance of. A lot of people want to get the website up and don't literally walk through every single step of the purchase process to know what they may or may not need. So again, draw that wish list. The amount of traffic. When you're first building a site, you launch it and you know, the restaurants, they call it the soft, you know, soft openings. That's basically what's going to happen. The timing, I have yet to see a hard launch with hard marketing tied in. It's generally post it, make sure everything works, send people to it as testers, and then you start using it within a month to, you know, do a firm like, hey, we have a new website, go check it out. Use it as a marketing campaign tool. But you want to kind of get an idea of the amount of traffic probably by month three. Of 3 to 6 months, you've been consistently marketing it and letting people know about it. That's about the time marker that you should be, you know, have a feel for how many, you know, how many people. Are you talking 50 a day, 100 a day, 1,000 a day, or the different times of year, maybe a seasonal type of thing. But keeping an eye on that, keeping an eye on traffic will determine if you need to upgrade your hosting package. And bandwidth, heavy interactive. For the most part, people who use videos, I will say this again, you know, thank God for YouTube and the creation of YouTube. Host your videos on YouTube. You can make them private if you don't want anybody to find you on YouTube, and you can embed them in private parts of your website. But have them hosted on YouTube because they're the experts. If you host videos on your server, you're going to be asking for bandwidth problems and a lot of headaches that are just unnecessary. So a couple of videos here and there about products or services, host them on YouTube. It becomes an external kind of marketing tool. People can find your business channel up there, see the videos there, which will lead to your website, and vice versa. People on your website leads to your YouTube channel. So, but that's heavy interactive when you need to be worried about bandwidth, the amount of content being, you know, transferred from users to the server. So if you have a ton of servers with lots of content and videos and interactive things, you're going to need a good bandwidth package. And then content management system are a lot bigger and robust on the back end to enable heavy text and kind of a bigger organizational or scalable system. And you want to make sure that, you know, again, the cheapest one, the we're going to have to do a part two of the part three. Well, that actually is the tech specs. The next podcast is going to have to go through the hosting. We're going to talk about the hosting company itself, the a la carte system. And, well, actually, we're almost done. Maybe we can get through this. The hosting company itself, does it have 24-hour customer support? Will they be around in 5 years? How much tech support will you need? Does it have a good reputation? Does it have a phone number? Please, please, please call them. Is there a standard response time where their server is located? The a la carte system, do they have room for growth and expansion? Work with your web person. Can you buy domains there if you want to? My bottom line is keep your hosting and your domains in the same account. It makes your life easier. If your budget or tech concerns, go to GoDaddy. They have great customer support. They're located in the U.S. If you're looking at CMS or Joomla, go to SiteGround. Either way, go to my website at tuawebdesign.com and check on the menu item called Resources, and you'll see I have an affiliate program. You can thank me you can thank me for the information for helping you with this by using one of my affiliate links at GoDaddy or at SiteGround. But I am glad I caught you on the web today. It was kind of fast and furious, but hosting is an important aspect. So think about the reputation of the company and what you need and what your website needs, and you should do fine. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.